For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Under the Helmet.
You do your thing, all right? Don't be nervous, okay?
The show that looks at long-term player value in fantasy football.
It's the moment right here. We're going to have to decide what type of team we want to be.
Building dynasties each and every week.
I don't even know your name. What's your name?
Chad Parsons.
I'm telling you, man, you're leading the league in hydration.
I got a dynasty team reaping rewards for the next decade.
Find written and premium audio content at uthdynasty.com.
Playing it safe in Dynasty means you're going to lose.
Stop talking about it, man. Let's get this going right now.
Moving on to the helmet, I am Chad Parsons, and a huge week here. We've got big-time news in the NFL, and one of the most notable situations to potentially exploit is Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice, where it's being passed around, has been in some way, some form, but it's still very ambiguous on what he's been involved with a vehicle accident fleeing the scene. It happened over a weekend, and then, you know, he didn't turn himself in right away. There's a lot of details that go into it. And I will just say, I've been privy to a lot of conversations, whether it's part of the football guy's staff chat, also knowing someone that's been on the defense and the prosecution side of the law with being an attorney, and that is Jordan McNamara. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to ask him some questions in regard to this on Dynasty Think Tank as well this week. But again, I'm more about the action plan. And this is a type of situation where some people think, you know, if you just read different discourse on Twitter / X, that you're going to see a lot of dialogue of, you know, of this is a huge deal. He's going to be out of the NFL. They should release him tomorrow. And this ends his career. You're going to see a lot of assumptions in that direction. And this is not the case in all leagues, certainly. But I will just say, from a dynasty pure perspective, this is an opportunity to explore the market as a buyer. Because there is a lot, from what I've learned, and this is not specific, I have not talked to Jordan specifically on this case, but I have talked about a lot of situations of this ilk with Jordan over the years. And here's what I assume he will say, and what I've heard from other legal commentary and analysis at this early stage, which is, number one, this is very early. Number two, types of cases like this are difficult to prove, difficult to fully prosecute to some extreme levels that people are thinking is assumptive. So it's very early that, at this point, with what you know, it can be difficult to say that he's going to be suspended. Something tangibly is going to affect his ability to play this coming year or in general going forward with the Kansas City Chiefs and in the NFL. So knowing that, there should not be a whole lot of discount occurring in the marketplace yet. In the last 24 to 48 hours, I found numerous examples in the marketplace of discounts. The most common deal I have seen, and the most common package I would recommend to throw out there as an offer, is a second round rookie pick, and then some player not of high import, but of possible dynasty interest. And the most classic example that I found that would represent what I'm talking about was Rashee Rice traded for Jahan Dotson and a 25 second. This could be a 24 second. It could be someone different than Jahan Dotson. But my idea, the premise there, the skeleton of that deal is what I'm referencing. So we're talking about, again, a player of import. Jahan Dotson still has some supporters out there. Let's say he's viewed like a second round sort of ish rookie pick valuation. Or is that someone, you know, it could maybe be a Zach Moss type player. It could be, I'm trying to think, you know, just someone of that general zone of value. So that could be a couple of seconds. Is that a second? And again, a player like that would be my suggestion. And it doesn't mean that gets accepted. Some people with Rashee Rice may not have moved the needle at all. And I would recommend that you don't really move the needle at all as a Rashee Rice team and dynasty owner that has him on your roster. So I think it's a possibility to buy. I would be reacting more if the Chiefs drafted a particularly notable profile in round one of the NFL draft more so than to this news. And again, it depends at 32. I'm assuming there's not some giant trade up in the first round, but again, if it, depending on who they drafted in the first round, because I'm not a big AD Mitchell fan. If they were to draft others in that zone, I may not, you know, be moved much at all. But there are some profiles, if that were Xavier Worthy per se, if that were, you know, if somehow we would get, you know, a trade up for them into a higher zone, you know, they draft Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze or something, that certainly should and would move the needle just in terms of competition level for targets. But this, at this point in stage, my official company dynasty advice line is, don't move the needle. Don't sell low if you have Rashee Rice rostered. And the other half of that is these are opportunities to buy in the marketplace based on worry. Now, again, I've also seen plenty of people decline these types of offers and basically say as such. But it's worth knock on the door and it's worth exploring Rashee Rice. And a reminder is, yes, he's in a unique profile and what he was able to do after the catch, his low ADOT and all those things last year. But he was a highly successful yards per route run guy. And in terms of his overall production as a year one rookie without round one pedigree. And let's keep in mind, this is the team that got Sky Moore overtly wrong with quality pedigree previously. This is the team that, depending on who they bring in the first round or in the first two or three rounds, it may not affect Rashee Rice, especially this year, at all. So this is a really good opportunity, like I said, if there is worry in the marketplace, and there is worry in the marketplace, to give them an opportunity to appease and mitigate that worry for themselves. And they're able to reset with a draft pick and a player of import, like I suggested in the beginning. Also for content this week, I wanted to share a cross-section of a show that's coming out this week with a lot more than this on it. But this is a section with Tim Torch. This is the main featured show for patreon.com/UTH this week. You can get shows like this once a week and some bonus content from time to time by simply signing up for $5 a month. So there's higher tiers where you get a lot more things, like, hey, a free draft guide that just released this past week. The pre-draft version, you get to get the post-draft version by the end of NFL draft weekend with a huge draft plan that's all updated. You have a draft plan right now in terms of trading, different tiers, different hotspot zones, full breakdown of profiles, the comparable prospect matrix, which is worth its weight alone in the draft guide. You get a decision-making matrix, which is historically researched for the profiles and where you should be taking certain profiles of certain positions and in what order as a general roadmap. And it'll definitely open your eyes as a different way to watch the NFL draft as it unfolds in the first few rounds on where these players sit and reside. So you get a free copy of that with patreon.com/UTH signing up as an all-pro subscriber for this coming month. And again, the sooner you do it, the sooner you get access to the VIP chat, and the sooner you get access to all the great content over there, including the little clip that I'm going to supply here as a preview on this weekly show. And also you get a free copy of the draft guide, and you get it with the pre-draft version as early as you sign up. I just send them right out with new signups here in the month of April. So this clip, as I intro to it with Tim Torch, it is our topic this week is each of us are going to bring the five toughest rank and basically the toughest to pin rookies. What do we think about them? And we're going to talk through a lot of machinations on what can clarify things in the NFL draft. But my first one is probably going to surprise you a little bit because it's a huge, well-known name. Without further ado, here is the opening clip from this week's show. Again, you're going to get 10 different rookies that we're discussing between Tim Torch and myself on the full show. But this is just a little clip, a little snippet here from the first player that I nominate as a ranker and analyst myself, tough to rank rookies. The first player I'd like to present, and this is going to be probably a little weird to hear, but one of my, and probably the most toughest to rank player in the 2024 NFL draft, is Caleb Williams. And I say this because part of me as an analyst, as a ranker, an official, you know, as a professional ranker, if you will, that If you don't have him at 101 in Superflex, and if you don't have him as QB1, my opinion is it doesn't matter where you rank him because that's where he's going. We always talk about this, and frankly, the is someone a target player? Are they an avoid player? Where do you have them ranked? The only thing that really matters is their relation to the market. And I feel like everybody else has a range of outcomes for where you're going to have to take them if you want them in a rookie draft. But one thing that I was chewing on today in getting ready for this show and this topic and this conversation is what could occur in the NFL draft that makes Caleb Williams not 101? Because he's such a heavy favorite. I don't even know if there's betting lines anymore on if he's going to go to the Chicago Bears at one. But if he were not, maybe that could change things. You know, if the Bears are willing to move off of one and it's not for some huge package, I wonder, will that move even if Caleb Williams goes 101 to Washington and they trade up? These iterations, but I'll just tell you this. In my heart of hearts, I don't think Caleb Williams is the QB1 in this class. I think he could be the QB1 in some classes. I don't think it's this class. I do not think he's generational. And I'll make this as a more pronounced statement. I think if you take Caleb Williams and you take all other players that aren't quarterbacks, that I think there's an argument that Caleb Williams is still not 101. So Tim, do you view this as he's tough to rank for you? Do you think he's 101 and it's like, hey, it's easy for me? Or what could occur in the NFL draft to clarify this for me, for you, for everybody? But it seems like everybody is already convinced.
Everyone is already convinced. I recently did a show with the Trade Addicts, and I made the comment that Drake May was my quarterback one. And they looked at me like I was crazy pants, and it was the first time they had heard this from anybody.
Yeah.
And moreover, they said, so you're not taking, they kind of gave me a side eye that that Caleb Williams wasn't my first player. They even gave me a second side eye when I said that I would take Drake May over Marvin Harrison Jr. And in Superflex. And I get what you're saying. Like, I feel like people are just so locked in to their takes, to how they do things, to what everyone in the market is saying. And to kind of push back on you a little bit, you always say the 101 is a guy that always gets their shot. Yep. Is a guy, maybe you don't like him maybe he doesn't produce year one like a Bryce Young or something, but at some point they produce or give you something, or they have long-standing value in the league.
Right.
Kind of i.e. Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford. But I'm with you, man. I really don't think there's anything that's going to push that feeling off from you or get that feeling out of your gut. It's going to be cemented. I don't think the NFL draft's going to move it.
Well, and I don't think the consensus is going to move at all. Like, I think I'm trying to think what could happen. A quarterback going to a certain spot, as if Caleb Williams goes one, I do play out these things in my head. If Caleb Williams somehow does not go one, that would be, I don't care what else happens in the whole rest of the draft, that would be the biggest ripple that could possibly happen. But he was annoying. You know, the feel of this whole 3-4 month process feels like Trevor Lawrence. It feels like some of these quarterbacks where it feels inevitable. He is going to go one. There's zero drama. There's zero changes. And there's zero adaptations to that come late April. And I just think this is the wrong class. You have two other high quality quarterback profiles. I don't think it's wrong for someone to have Drake May at QB1. I don't think it's wrong for someone to have Jaden Daniels as QB1 of this class in Dynasty, in the NFL, either of those things. I also think in rookie drafts, having a profile like Marvin Harrison Jr., or if Malik Nabers goes in the top five, to have them number one overall in this class. We don't have a round one running back or a high round one NFL running back. There's no Bijan Robinson here, but that would be another consideration. And I just, go ahead.
I'll just add, it's so funny that everyone says this is like the best landing spot a rookie quarterback could land into.
Right.
I want to fast forward to this point in 2025. Keenan Allen is no longer with the Bears.
Right.
They have blown their war chest of of salary cap space on they could have rolled over the money for Keenan Allen, or they could have invested it somewhere else. And it looks like a much different place when you just have DJ Moore. Question at the wide receiver two position. What's going to happen there? Say they don't get a Roma Dunze or someone like that with their second top 10 pick. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, everyone who wants to put on the rose-colored Caleb Williams glasses is looking at 2024 like a can't-miss situation. And, boy, I'm with you. I have concerns. There's questions. It's not a hard story to tell where this breaks down.
And the biggest thing I go back to is that Caleb Williams, it really doesn't matter. If you don't have him at 101 atop your board in a rookie drafting environment, it doesn't matter. And that's when you get the pushback. And I don't know if in your appearance on a podcast that they asked, well, so if you're sitting at one, you would take Drake May. But the answer to that can easily be, no, I would trade the pick. You don't have to sit there and draft a different player. You always have the option to trade. And they, you know, you may not be able to trade exactly to two or exactly to three, but the point is you have the option to trade down or trade out or trade for a veteran. So you have a lot of latitude, because the 101, especially, we're not talking about 109 or 212, or you have the option. And this is going to be a highly sought after selection. I know, because the leagues where I have 101, I've gotten more offers than 102, 103, 104, 105 combined. So this is the one pick where, you know, I would say 102, you know, you figure you have all options but Caleb Williams, but you may not know who exactly you're going to select. I think basically everyone at 101 in Superflex knows who they're taking, and they'll even put in the trade comments of your offer to them, or, you know, of a trade that's executed, about who the pick is going to be, and it's going to be Caleb Williams. So I will say, this is actually a good situation for me as an analyst, because if I have him at two overall, three, four, five, it doesn't matter, because he's not going to be available. And I think that's one of the biggest things about rankings, is make sure when you look at him that, especially post NFL draft, and I have that in the draft guide as well as on the UTH rankings, which is the biggest thing, is where are you versus the market? Because otherwise, it really doesn't matter. You know, if someone is wide receiver 18 in overall dynasty and you have my wide receiver 30, that means they're a sell, and you're certainly not going to go into a rookie draft or a startup draft and acquire said player. They're just not going to be available close to where you have them valued. So that would be the biggest point, is for Caleb Williams, it really doesn't matter, as long as if you don't have him at one, because it's immaterial, as he will not be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So there you go, a snippet from this week's weekly show on patreon.com/UTH with Tim Torch. You hear him every 3 to 4 weeks on this weekly show, slated to be back soon as well for another appearance. But we discuss a bunch of players tough to rank. Obviously, Caleb Williams is one of my nominations. We go a host of others with the pros and cons for it's just tough for us to get a gauge, and the draft could hinge on that, but also their profiles could be troublesome. I wanted to mention a couple key features, and I'll add a couple nuggets here from the 2024 UTH draft guide that dropped in the past week. It's available now for free by signing up at patreon.com/UTH all pro tier. So first of all, in my opinion, one of the most valuable pages in the entire guide is the comparable prospect matrix. I've lamented over and over again on how it really bothers me how most people do player comps. And one of the big things is everybody has to be comped to a player that is currently playing in the NFL or a well-known player in the last 10 to 15 years to make sure everyone knows who they are. All of them are generally great. They either have high pedigree or were productive or both or fantasy all-stars, whatever. And that's not life. That's not reality. That is rose-colored glasses. Everybody gets an orange slice. Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a participation trophy. And I will say this. We have to be very discerning with Dynasty. You're going to hear NFL shows, NFL draft type shows, and they talk about how everybody is great. Everyone's great. This guy's a sleeper. There's tons of first round grades. All these guys should go in the first three rounds. Even the guys on day three, they're all great. They all help their NFL team. I call BS. Most of the guys are not going to be helping their NFL teams. Many of them, even in the first round, are going to be problems, negative outcomes. And for dynasty teams, we are even more discerning. In a three or four round draft, how many picks you get? Well, they naturally, you know, a year out, 2 years out, this year, whatever, they give you one pick per round. You don't get many cracks. If you make a bunch of trades, you blow up your team, maybe you have six, seven, eight picks meaningfully in the first two, three rounds. Maybe. And boy, talk about high stakes to rebuild your team. You're making eight or nine rookie picks and you need a lot of them to work out in a major way because that's the backbone of your team. Not NFL veterans. It's like Allen Iverson. Not veterans. We're talking about rookies. And yeah, every productive NFL player started as a rookie, but there's a lot we don't know about them. So I will just say the comparable prospect matrix is probably more of a dose of cold water on players than you would like to hear. But the biggest problems I have are they base it on how tall is the guy and how fast did they run? Maybe. Or it's like when I watch them, he reminds me of this guy. And it's backed on nothing else. Just know my comps, they take, like through the projection model, it probably takes me 10 minutes to do 5 to 10 minutes to do one. There's 80 of them in here. So you do the math on how long I spend on comps. It's a big deal. But I believe giving one line on an Excel sheet can give you a real good impression about the player. Is there a big ceiling here? Is there a big floor? What's the middle ground outcome? You get best case, middle ground, worst comp, worst case in all, you know. And guess what? If there's no fit, I don't put something there. Occasionally a player has a blank or two because nothing fits. I'm not going to force it. Short guys, white guys, fast guys, slow guys. It's not just like you don't tunnel vision and just be like, you know, every fast running back that's under 200 pounds, I'm going to comp to this guy. Like, I think that people have comp outs, I should say. So it's a huge trouble spot for me in the dynasty space, the fantasy space, the NFL draft space, and frankly, from getting clicks. You know, and we all remember the David Montgomery one. You know, he has the eyes of this guy. He's Saquon Barkley. He's Adrian Peterson. He's, everybody wrapped up into one. The Franken running back from the Greek gods. And he turned out okay. David Montgomery wasn't okay. Was he a dynasty MVP, a fantasy MVP, and offensive player of the year in the NFL? No. So there's 80 comps that I did. Probably going to be a few more with some of these guys that get drafted on day three that I didn't run their comps because they're really far off the radar. There's plenty of off the radar guys in this 80, trust me. But there probably will be a few more added for the post-draft edition. I will share a couple. I will share a couple of the 80. Let's see. Let's go a notable guy. Let's go with, how about Jalen Polk? I just randomly picked Jalen Polk. So Washington wide receiver. Again, he's going to be great, just like everyone else is going to be great. Best case comp, Marvin Jones. And again, this goes on physical traits, athletic traits, and production traits. because production is a key aspect. I say it sarcastically, as few people put in production traits when they look at comps. But here we are, Jalen Polk. And it, guess what? It also doesn't feed for draft position. I can also, you know, for some of the notables, I will look at, hey, here's the closest comps for, say, these round one wide receivers. You're going to see some content on that right after the draft, and maybe a few of them here in April as well, through UTH content. But so Jalen Polk, Marvin Jones, the best case scenario, if you want to think of it that way. The middle ground comp, Terrence Williams. You remember Terrence Williams, a second round pick? Hey, Jalen Polk is projected to go in the second round. He went to Dallas. He had, I think, one main, marginal fantasy starter season, real low end. He was always kind of that speed-based, vertical-based number two guy. Honestly, that's kind of Jalen Polk, right? You know, a guy that's probably not going to be a number one wide receiver. Number two, if he can hang, if he can be a day two pick and actually warrant that selection. And Terrence Williams, he played with Dez Bryant. I think he played with Miles Austin as well, maybe for a cup of coffee. But again, those Dallas teams were good. Terrence Williams was an ancillary aspect of that. And then the moment where he had an injury or two, he needed to kind of produce on his own. I think the depth chart deteriorated. He just could not do it. The worst case comp, Michael Woods II. Most people probably don't remember who Michael Woods is, if you ever knew him at all. That's the whole point. The floor is low for plenty of these guys. Not everybody. Not everybody has really bad, you know, worst case comps, but plenty of them do, especially at wide receiver. So there's Jalen Polk. We got Marvin Jones on the high end, Michael Woods II of complete flame out on the bottom end. We got Terrence Williams, more of the realistic middle ground range of outcomes if you're looking at it like a curve on a chart. Let's pick one more. How about we go to running back? And I'm going to pick a sleeper here. George Holani. I'm actually going to give one away here in terms of a guy that has a sneaky, decent profile. Boise State back, some positives. And his best case comp is actually a guy I really liked last year who had good comps himself. Mr. Evan Hull got an injury there and pretty much redshirted his rookie season. How would the Colts depth chart have worked out? Would Zach Moss have been a thing if Evan Hull were healthy? We had Jonathan Taylor missing some time. Evan Hull right now is the running back two on that depth chart. I want to see what the Colts think of him. How much do they splash that depth chart? So Evan Hull, you could view that as a good comp. You could view it as a bad comp in terms of where we sit today. Day three guy, he got hurt. He's never going to be anything. And that's the best case. I'm out on George Holani. You can also view it as he was a really interesting day three prospect, Evan Hull was. And he's one that he might have been a thing as a rookie. He might be a thing right here as year two. Good profile coming out. Middle ground comp, Shane Vereen. Pretty nice, right? You're looking at a receiving-centric guy. George Holani has a receiving profile, good enough athleticism, maybe not prototypically sized, but a guy that, again, we saw Shane Vereen for pockets of his career have decent fantasy upside. Never quite got home as a full-fledged starter, but we thought that potential maybe be a receiving-centric 1B was definitely there. Worst-case comp for George Holani, Max Borgi. Max Borgi was thought to be, you know, maybe a Christian McCaffrey homeless under the bridge version, you know, a homeless version of Shane Vereen, maybe even. So that didn't work out in the NFL lens, but had some promise, did some positive things in college as a receiver. And as that, again, slightly undersized, you know, jitterbug in a best case type of player. So George Holani here, again, Evan Hull and Shane Vereen point to some promise. Max Borgi, not so much. But when you say George Holani is a day three guy, maybe UDFA, and certainly a guy not going in the typical three or four round rookie draft, I think this is pretty good. I think, especially when you compare it to some of the other comps spectrums for some of the players in round four, round five, waiver wire, you're going to consider for rookie allocation and acquisition purposes this year. So there you go. Just a couple things. I'll try to share a little snippet as I talk about the draft guide for you to sign up at patreon.com/UTH. Really appreciate that. And again, if you like this content, you like some of the conversations you heard with Tim Torch, or you hear him on the weekly show, just know, I mean, I'm producing 500 plus premium shows at UTH, dynasty.com, where you can just sign up as a GM plus subscriber for the year. And here's the best thing. Instead of, I actually think, I don't know why I didn't think of this in previous years. Instead of a long form 3-4 hour live draft night show for Thursday and Friday night, what I did last year, the results and the feedback was outstanding, which is basically live fire. I'm recording little audio chapters that come out as individual shows on the UTH premium channel there that you'll get as a GM. You will get that where basically, let's say Caleb Williams goes 101. Boom. Probably 10 minutes after he's drafted, there's going to be a show released, 5 to 10 minutes long, of the reaction, basically these reaction shows of a few things about their profile, where they kind of sit, where do they sit in the dynasty decision-making matrix for rookie drafts. And you're going to get all of that in a little snippet that now you don't have to go sift on, what did he say about Brian Thomas? Is it an hour into the show? Is it 2 hours into the show? You don't have to go try to find that and listen to it after the NFL draft. I'm going to have a little 3, 4, 5 minute show probably on Brian Thomas. It's going to be all there in order of how they were drafted. I do that for every player drafted in the first three rounds. Some people said it was so good. They're like, are you doing it on Saturday? I was like, no, I got to get to work. I got to do the NFL. I got to do the update to the draft guide. I got to do the rankings, player values. I have so much on that Saturday and Sunday to do. I can't possibly sit there and record all the day three shows. But people appreciated it so much. And again, that means the Sunday after the draft, the Monday, 2 weeks later that summer, if you have a rookie draft in August, you can go back and just listen to the 5 minute segment, its own standalone show on that particular player, to find out their profile, their thoughts, and all of that if you want a deep dive on them in a very concise way. So I'm really looking forward to it. It actually gave me some built-in breaks during draft night. I can pace myself a little bit. Both of those nights, there's poised to be a lot of skill position players. So what that means is a drove of premium shows that you will be able to consume at your leisure. Or some people were listening to it near, live fire when they were coming out, because again, all those shows were out within 20 to 30 minutes. I was already caught up by the end of round one. I was caught up with all those. I'm probably gonna be behind the first 10 picks because we might get 6, 7, 8 skill position players. But again, they come out very quickly. And it's one of the things I'm really proud of changing that format as opposed to being live and on air for such an arduous 3 to 4 hour file that is just tough for the listener to get through. I know it's an awesome, Katie, Tim, Jordan, and I to hang out and have that show and experience. But from the production angle, it was very intensive, both being on air that long, but also just from the moment I get off air, I want to be doing stuff, and it's hard to do that while I am recording and hosting and all of those things. So again, thank you so much for listening this week. And again, supporting UTH in whatever way you can and do and feel like you want to. So thank you so much for that. Tons of people have transitioned from this weekly show to subscribing at UTH Dynasty, getting all the premium content. It's the best time of year to do so. It's also the best time of year to get your draft guide copy at patreon.com/UTH. So thank you so much. More draft talk as we get through April, the lying season, the storyline season, where you hear everything under the sun. But guess what? You're probably not going to hear a lot of Caleb Williams isn't going 101. So that's one thing that seems like it's already written in stone-ish concrete there to begin the draft in a few weeks. I'm Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those things.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.